In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the first Sunday of the blessed month of Hatur, and the gospel reading is very familiar to us, in which Christ speaks to us about the parable of the sower who sowed his seed, and it falls on different grounds. And he describes for us which types of ground: the wayside, the stony ground, the thorny, and the good soil. And so I want to reflect on these different types, the different types of ground that Jesus speaks to us today, and what these mean for us as distractions in the world. But through the even with the distractions, we find a message of hope. And we find that the three distractions that we find in the wayside and in the stony ground and the thorns, we find that the distractions are a lack of reconciliation of our weakness with God's mercy. How can God have mercy, or how does God count me as one who is unique and one who is called to participate with Him in His glory when I am a sinner? And the other distraction that we hear about is the temptations from the outside, which is the stony ground. And then we find the pride or temptations from within the heart in the thorny ground. The wayside, as expressed by Christ, is a difficult spiritual level. And it's mentioned even before the stony ground and the thorny ground, because the wayside must be overcome before being convinced of seeking the good soil. The wayside doesn't accept its potential. It cannot understand the extent of what it was made to do. And this is why the wayside cannot accept the seeds, or as described to us, the Word of God. But Christ, He says something that we should pay attention to. He says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the Word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. He didn't say that the ones on the wayside are hopeless, but He reminds us that there's always hope in Him. And what actually denies us of the blessings, what denies us of the salvation in which we are called to participate in, is determined by our will, to keep the truth of God. And we should discern what is the truth of God. And we know that the truth of God is His words, but not in an intellectual sense. We aren't the wayside simply because we maybe lack in memorizing the scripture. But the wayside is being confronted with the truth of God's word and rejecting that truth. That is the wayside. So what does the soil do? Does the soil, whenever a seed is sown, does the seed continue to remain in a raw state? Does it continue to keep its shape? Or does the seed transform the depth of the soil to do something that it cannot do on its own? So, when a seed is planted, it does not continue to remain in its current state, but it transforms. And the seed in and of itself is true, just as the Word of God is true. But even the Word of God cannot transform unless it is sown in the heart or it is sown in the soil. So, this is the Word of God. This is the truth of God when it is dwelling in the soil, when it is dwelling in our hearts. Father Matthew the Poor, or Abuna Matt al-Maskeen, he says, when the Holy Spirit recalls certain words to us, He does so in depth and breadth, not simply reminding us of the text of a verse, but giving with it irresistible wisdom and spiritual power to bring out the glory of the verse and the power of God in it. We must keep our hearts conscious of the Word of God through pondering upon it frequently and storing it up in our hearts out of love and delight. And this kind of goes with, from St. John, he says, your words were found and I ate them, right? Your words were found and I ate them. So the words of God are not simply philosophical. They're not for us to simply know and knowledge, but they are to be used in order to grow in us, to be a part in us, to transform us, and to transform our hearts. And so the wayside isn't resolved with the intellectual mind that aims at memorizing, but it is conquered by the opening of the heart. So what actually fills us is not just the words as words, but what fills us is when we, as Abuna Metta says, when we ponder on the words, when we ponder on them. And sometimes the wayside is a struggle that not just unbelievers participate in, but even believers, in which we deny ourselves the grace or the word of God in which we are in need of for our salvation, in which we are in need of so that it can transform our hearts. And sometimes the devil even takes advantage of us by taking away this truth of God as was described in the gospel reading. Maybe he allows me to think that I'm performing a service or I am doing something that is spiritual when I come to the church to hear the word of God out of obligation. Maybe I bring my child to the church to listen to the word of God so that my child can be a good person to grow up. I am an adult and I already went through all of this. But that's as if, as an adult, I am not in need of transformation. I am not in need to be reminded of God's truth. And even vice versa for children, that I'm doing a service or I follow the commandments of God in which I obey my parents to come to church. But when the words reach my ear, I reject them. We are deceived when we reject the word of God, not simply to hear. We don't hear the word of God simply to hear, but for it to dwell in our hearts. So every single one of us is called to be saved, and all of us is called as a temple of the Lord, to dwell in it the power of the Holy Spirit, and to house the glory and truth of our Savior. The next ground that we hear about in the gospel is the stony ground. And as Christ said, that this is the ground that when we hear the word of God, we experience joy for a time. And then that joy is taken away. When we are tempted, we come to realize that we don't actually have control over our own will. The stony ground is a reminder of the struggles we face from the outside, from the temptations of the devil. But sometimes we might wonder that if Christ says that we experience joy when we don't fall into temptations, but in the church we hear in the Litany of the Departed, "For no one is pure and without blemish, even though his life on earth be a single day." And St. John says in his epistle, "If we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves." Then where is this joy? Why would we be deprived of joy throughout our lives? And at what point, when I hear that I cannot live even a day without sin, but Christ says that we experience joy without the sin, then how do I reconcile that I am not the rocky ground. But the rocks in our lives are usually one of two things. When we allow ourselves to fall into despair over our struggles, then we fall into temptation. Or maybe we lose our identity, and maybe simply out of ease we fall into temptation. But the stony ground is when we deny the mercy of God and we continue to follow a path that doesn't glorify Him. When we forget the economy of salvation, we find ourselves easily falling into temptations. But when we remember that we are broken and that we are in need of His mercy, and that objectively we find that there is no other way to life other than to accept that God does care for me, there is no other way to get rid of the rocks than to accept this invitation by God. But can I actually live without falling into temptation? Can I actually experience this joy that Christ is saying that those on the rocky ground only experience for a short period of time? But to say that we can live without falling is to say that the soil on its own is pure. Again, to say that we can live without sin or without falling is to say that the soil on its own is pure. That simply without the rocks, the soil in and of itself is pure. But we find that that's not the case. One time I went to Kansas, and of course it's a place in which they harvest grains and lots of farms. And I was driving, and it was my first day there, and I find a whole entire field on fire. So I immediately called the fire department, and I say, there's a field on fire. And he says, most likely it's a controlled fire, but we will check. We will check because you called. So he said, what is your name? And I said, Michael. So my name is Andrew. But because I finally realized that this is something that is normal for the field. Because it is in need before every harvest to be purified. That when the ground is burned, when the soil is burned, it's renewed for the next harvest, for the next crop year. So the soil in and of itself still needs a purification. So what are the stones? What are the stones? The stones is a sign in which we cannot detach ourselves from the passions or from temptations. And this is when joy is taken away from us. Joy is taken when the rocks or the temptations or the passions in our life, they dwell in us, they cover us, and they become who we are. They become our identity because the rocks covers the soil. But we can live a life, we are invited to live a life of joy and a life of repentance, in which again we accept an invitation from Christ to be forgiven our sins and to participate in His glory. The next ground that we speak about is the ground where there are thorns. And this is when we are given gifts and we forget about who gave them to us. And so just as the stones are temptations from external influences, from Satan, from the things in the world, the thorns is the same, but from my heart, from the inside of my soul. Whether God grants us a gift of comfort, comforting others, or being a peacemaker, or being gentle, or being wealthy, or whatever the gift is that God has granted us, He grants it to us in order to glorify Him. And not simply just to give to Him, but to use it to glorify Him by bringing it and presenting it to the community, to give to others, as St. Paul taught us. And so what we sometimes do is we forget the Lord. We forget who granted us these gifts. We forget that we begged for certain gifts, but after we receive them, we take on upon us the credit. The thorns, they choke the word of God, because when the fruit grows, the thorns don't want the beauty of the fruits to cover them. All of our gifts are given to us, again, to glorify God, to serve others, and to save our souls. And there's no doubt that we are all called to do great things. The disciples of Christ went out and they preached and they removed the demons and came back with joy that the demons were subject to the name of Christ, to the authority of Christ given to the disciples. And so God wants us as one body to administer the graces that prepare us for heaven, but not without remembering that this authority and this grace comes from Christ. When the disciples went out and they preached and they exorcised demons, what happened? They came back to Christ to receive blessing from Christ. Why? Because they know that He is the source of their joy. He is the source of their authority to cast out demons and to preach the Word of God. So the thorns is a reminder for us that all the gifts that we have, all the things that we're capable of doing, all of the graces and the blessings that we have come from the perfect source, and that is from our Master Jesus Christ. The last type of ground is the good soil, and this is the ground that has freed itself from all distractions of the world. And this isn't to say, again, that the soil doesn't experience disturbances, right? How can we say that it's possible even for us to live a life in which we don't struggle with any difficulties or we don't find ourselves falling into temptations? But we have to remember what we said about the need of burning the soil to be purified, right? The soil is exposed to the environment. Animals and bugs will come upon the soil. The winds and the rain will come and shake the soil. So the soil is not immune to the normal ways of the outdoors. But nothing dwells on it. And nothing dwells in it except for one thing, and that is the Word of God. And this is what we are called to do. We're called to invite the Word of God into our hearts and to fight against the normal waves of life, so that all that dwells in me, despite the struggles, despite all the things that God has granted me as a cross, that it's still the Word of God that dwells in me and gives me joy. And there's something that we should remember about this gospel reading. That the common thing among the different grounds is that they all have soil. The depth of each one, even the wayside, is soil and it cannot be removed. It can only be covered if I allow it, if my will allows it. It's like the Spirit of God that dwells in us. Even in the time of creation, every human being is given the breath of God. And we are bestowed upon us the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we say, I do this or that so that the Holy Spirit may grow. But how can we say that the Holy Spirit grows? God, the perfect, doesn't dwell in us unfilled. The Holy Spirit is full and it dwells within us. But what this expression really means is, how much authority do I allow the Holy Spirit to take in my life? How much authority do I allow the Holy Spirit, who is full and dwells in me, how much authority do I allow the Holy Spirit to take in my life? As soil, we have the freedom to choose. every single moment of our lives, that which has authority over us. The ignorance of the wayside, the temptations of the outside in the rocks, and the pride and temptations of the heart from the thorns, or the goodness of the Holy Spirit. And so every day we are invited, and it's never too late to accept God's mercy. It's never too late to accept His kindness, because He's always patient, waiting for us. So we ask that God grant us the will and the desire to remove the distractions of the devil, to dwell simply with the beauty of God's love and His truth. To Him be the glory, both now and ever, and unto the ages of all.